recommendations and next steps. The TMGC met 2 weeks ago in Halifax to review the track report and make recommendations on the 2014 Georges Bank cod, haddock, and yellowtail quotas. The steering committee met the following day and approved all of the committee's recommendations. For everyone's reference, the current U.S. Delegation of the TMGC are myself, Terry Alexander, Mary Beth, Tom Dempsey, Sarah Heil, and Fred Sirchuk. The Canadian delegation also has 6 members. Following this brief presentation, I've got 3 committee motions. 2 should be all right. Should follow. We should be able to work through very easily. The third one, I'm not so sure. Okay, is it coming up? For your reference, it is in your binder. Tab 3. Okay. There are not a whole lot of slides, so I'm going to read right through them. As I said, this was a presentation given to the steering committee in Dartmouth. The TAC for the Eastern Georges Cod for 2014 is set, 700 metric tons versus the 600 metric tons in 2013. The TMGC supported the new benchmark model of VPA M equals 0.8, and the TMGC sought to keep fishing mortality low and promote stock rebuilding. FRAF of 0.18 should be reviewed in light of the adoption of the new assessment model. And the previous assessments indicated that F was at or above FRF. The new model provides a different perception of stock size and suggests fishing mortality may be low FRF. This 2014 TAC of 700 metric ton corresponds to the expected fishing mortality of 0.06 and is expected to result in a biomass increase of close to 10%. The shares for all U.S. Allocations increased this year, so applying the annual allocation shares entitles U.S. to 22% and Canada to 78% of the cod. Consequently, the TAC of 700 metric ton results in a national quota of 154 metric tons versus 96 in 2013 and 546 metric tons for Canada versus 504 metric tons in 2013. Slides are in the order of the discussion that the TMGC had, but they won't be in the order of the motions. The second stock that the TMGC discussed was yellowtail flounder, and the TAC for Georges Bank yellowtail flounder for the 2014 fishing year is 400 metric tons versus 500 from last year. The TMGC spent an incredible amount of time discussing the uncertainties of the assessment and conclude that it makes it difficult to reliably estimate the probability of exceeding FRF. The TMGC did have consensus that the stock conditions are poor and sought to reduce catches from 2013 and promote stock rebuilding. The 2014 quota of 1,400 metric tons is 20% reduction from 2013 and is projected to increase biomass. Here's a big deal for U.S. The annual allocation is for U.S. in 2014 is 82% and Canada is 18. Consequently, the TAC of 4,000 metric tons results in a national quota of 328 tons for U.S., up from 215 in 2013, and 72 metric tons for Canada, down from 285 in 2013. The good news is haddock, and the TAC for Eastern Georges haddock for the 2014 year is 27,000 metric tons compared to 10,400 last year. This quota represents low risk of exceeding FRF. The TMGC selected the lower the neutral risk of exceeding FRF because of the uncertainty associated with the growth of the large 2010 year class and its expected contribution to the 2014 catches. As Loretta's report indicates, the stock size is expected to remain very high for the next 2 years. Applying the annual allocation shares entitles U.S. to 39%, Canada 61, resulting in 10,530 metric tons, up from 3,952 in 2013, and 16,470 metric tons for Canada, up from 6,448 in 2013. Over the course of 2 days, we had a full day and a half of discussions well into the evening, the second day, and did not conclude our business. Consequently, the TMGC is scheduling a conference call for the first week of November to discuss items which were remaining on the business, and the TMGC proposed to the steering committee an early 2014 intersessional meeting for any items requiring more discussion. This is likely going to be in Boston. And the issues to be discussed include quota trading, alternative approaches to management, and that includes both the cod and the yellowtail measures, review of the terms of reference for the TMGC understanding, and as we discussed earlier today, a review of the U.S.-Canadian discard estimates. One update that I do have for the council and the public is that GOMAC, which is a Gulf of Maine advisory council on the north of the border, met a week ago to discuss the concept of quota trading. There is some traction. We don't have many details. I can't say how encouraging it's going to be, but we will find out the first week of October. And that concludes my report. Any questions? Mike?
Yes, on your conclusions about the cod, if I read the slide right, I think it said something about accepting the 0.8M model as benchmarked. And that wasn't my understanding. Can we get clarification on that?
I'm going to need some help, Jamie.
Was the VPA M equal 0.0.8 the result of a benchmark model?
Or Loretta?
The 0.8 model was, well, at the benchmark there were two models, and we couldn't come to a consensus, but we only agreed to use the 0.8 model for catch advice, but not for status. Right.
Yeah, good pick, Mike. Other questions? Questions from the audience? Drew.
Hi, Drew McCabe, Fisher Survival Fund. In all honesty, it's more comments than questions, if that's okay by the chair.
Please.
All right. Thank you. We've taken an interesting path to get to the 400 metric tons on cod, and I spoke to some of this yellowtail. Yeah, sorry. See, cod always gets on everyone's brain, I guess. I don't know. But on yellowtail, and I spoke to this some at the groundfish committee meeting, but wanted to further elaborate on it, especially since we now have a written response from the agency trying to explain some of the rationale on the 400 metric tons for yellowtail. This process started with the TRAC meeting and a public session with scientists from both the United States and Canada, and they came to a recommendation that, well, it looked like it was something well below 500 metric tons, but then Pat said that was not his recollection. I mean, well below 500 metric tons, I will concede, is what's in the writing of the TSR, but, Pat was there as an observer and one of the only two outside peer reviewers at the track. He had a Canadian counterpart. But to be clear, everyone at the track, with the exception of the two outside people, are part of the process and part of the doing the assessment model, which is not your normal peer review process, but that's how it is done under track. And I would note that that doesn't match up with the now National 2 standard guidelines on the peer review process. That was followed by the groundfish PDT met. And also, as we established earlier, the track did not provide an overfishing limit. The groundfish PDT met, they could not provide an overfishing limit, and they concurred, I believe is the best way to say, with the 500 metric ton advice or below. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I'll respond after.
Okay. And then that was followed by the SSC met. They had a quorum, and they discussed this at length, and they came up with the advice of the catch should be below 500 metric tons to the extent practicable. So we had three public meetings with U.S. and Canadian scientists, and actually the SSC has, as you know, several Canadian scientists as well. And these three public meetings that are also heavily attended and staffed by National Marine Fisheries staff, I mean, they're a significant important component of the track and the SSC. At these meetings, in the public, the advice was consistently something below 500 metric tons, either well below or to the extent practicable, but something below 500 metric tons. So we all agree that 500 metric tons is off the table, and then from there you get into the debate of what's practicable and what's well below. So moving forward to the TMGC, where the decision was going to be made between the two countries as to exactly what the quota would be, in the pre-meetings that the U.S. delegation was having, NIMS informed the members of the TMGC that they would not approve anything above 400 metric tons. And this was a result of private meetings that NIMS had internally to come up with this number. Now, NIMS will claim this is consistent with the advice you got, but it's not consistent by, I mean, is it below 500 metric tons? Yes, but there is, you know, between 499 and 400 that's still in play and should be debated openly, and it's not consistent with that. That being said, the TMGC had many discussions, and then the U.S. opened its position at the negotiations of 450 metric tons, because that was the majority opinion. The letter here states that that was a minority opinion of 450 metric tons, but the fact is there are six members of the TMGC, and four of them clearly supported 450 metric tons, so not very strong on math, but four is more than two. That's the majority. We'll move forward. But once the U.S. made that presentation, it was immediately followed by the National Marine Fisheries Service, their representative, stating that they would not approve more than 400 metric tons. So this, you had the U.S. position, then you had the agency position that undercut the U.S. position presented at a negotiation. Interesting moment. Canada's response to that was, we'll accept either number if the United States has to stop fighting amongst itself and agree to a single number. That led to much discussion on the United States side, and it was agreed. You know, NIMS made it very clear they would not approve anything more than 400 metric tons, and so that became the position that's before you now. So there's a real process issue here and a scientific issue here. The Magnuson Act clearly states and gives the authority to the SSC to meet an established level of catch that should not be cannot be exceeded by you. They clearly said you can't go over 500 metric tons. You have to go somewhere below to the extent practicable. And now the practical standard, that's something for you all. That's like a body for you, the council, to look at relevant factors and debate. When NIMS has come in and says, we won't approve anything above 400 metric tons. And what's unclear, and they're using their authority to say, we have to make sure that overfishing doesn't occur. Which I agree, they have that authority. They can't allow overfishing to occur. I mean, everyone concedes that. But what's not clear from this letter is, are they setting an OFL or are they giving you the ABC? And yes, OFL can equal ABC, but you get to them by much different means. And so if you look at some of their rationale, they talk about how they have the ABC default rule of 75%, but since you have so much uncertainty in this assessment, and we all agree there's a lot of uncertainty, we should go below 75%. The thing is, if you look at the ABC control rule as is written out in Amendment 16 that you all passed, the agency approved, so this, you know, this is something that should be governing here. It talks about ABC control reviews will be used in the absence of better information that be allowed for a more explicit determination of scientific uncertainty with Docker SOX. If such information is available that if scientific uncertainty can be characterized in a more accurate fashion, it can be used by the SSC to determine the ABCs. And so and then it goes, the ABC should determine as the catch associated with 75% of FMSY. If a 75% of FMSY does not achieve the mandated rebuilding requirements, and we're not in, you know, obviously with the Georgia Bank Yellowtail and track, it's a, you're not really in the rebuilding requirements because of the legislation that was passed, you just have to show growth. For stocks that cannot be rebuilt, so once again, that doesn't matter. And then finally, the interim ABC should be determined for stocks with unknown status according to case-by-case recommendations from the SSC. So this clearly lays out a process for this to be done that includes the SSC making this determination, and it has a 75% control, you know, that's the default, unless you can show that with certainty there you can go either way. And that wasn't proven. So they're not following the own standards that were passed by all of you and approved by them. They're throwing that aside. And they then go on to make the case that, you know, 328 metric tons would be the catch, and that's almost 385, you know, when last year's or this year's 385 metric tons. So that's, you know, they say nearly equal. Well, for a choke species, 85% of something isn't nearly equal. That 15% matters a lot. I don't have to tell all of you that. That's a big, big number. And they further go on. It just, you know, I've read this letter several times, and I still can't discern if they're talking about an OFL or an ABC or they're putting the two together or what they're really saying. They're just saying we won't approve more than 400 metric tons, but they never tell you if they're giving you an OFL, which they would make some sense in that, you know, if they're saying we can't allow overfishing to occur, this is what the OFL is because we haven't been given one by the SSC. How it's lower than what the SSC recommended, that's something we can debate, but at least there's a logical path to that number. But they don't provide that. They talk about 400 metric tons is appropriate maximum level for catch necessary to prevent overfishing, reduce catch consistent with the TMGC and SSC advice, and provide stock growth. So it seems they're making the practicability determination for you. And that's not appropriate. That's not their role. They are part of this process, but they are one vote out of the 17. And so how, for any other species, have the agency just come in and just said, we're going to make the practicability determination for you? And they, you know, so they're just throwing all process aside. And it just, at no point, you know, at point does this make any sense or follow any procedure. And I understand, you know, the agency argues that, you know, this is an international negotiation, and so, you know, I think representing the United States, we have the right to, you know, make the final determination. Okay, well, it's nice the agency to say that for when they want to do something, but when it comes to, you know, abiding, you know, everything else, then, oh, well, you know, U.S. law governs and we, you know, our hands are tied. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. And if that's really how the agency feels, then we might as well just pack up and go, you know, why do we have all these presentations on Georgia's Bank Yellowtail and everything else? Because if the agency's just going to decide what it wants to do, well, then why waste our time? But that's basically what's happening here. There, a private meeting between the agency is overriding three public meetings that came to a different conclusion. How's that possible? How's that appropriate? So these are some hard questions that we have to ask, and we need better answers. I'm sorry that the letter is not clear as to the agency's rationale. Are you giving us an OFL, or is it ABC, or are you saying they're the same? But how do you get to that conclusion? It doesn't make any logical sense. So continue to be very, very frustrated by this process and hope that the when the groundfish comes up, the agency sticks to its the council sticks to its guns at the 425. Because I understand that the agency is being clear about what it's saying it will or will not approve, but in this case, I'm sorry, they're just clearly wrong.
Okay. Thank you, Drew. I would like to see if there are any questions before I go into motions. Seeing none, I'm going to do the two easy ones first. And I'm going to move that the TAC for Eastern Georgia's Bank cod for the 2014 fishing year be 700 metric tons. It's a committee motion and does not need a second. COD, 700.
700.
Matt.
Mr. Chairman, are you referring to the total TAC or the U.S. portion?
Total. Committee discussion? Audience? Back to the committee. Those who support 700 metric tons, please indicate so. Motion carries 16-0-0. Second motion is I move that the TAC for Eastern Georgia's Bank Haddock for the 2014 fishing year be 27,000 metric tons. A committee motion does not need a second. Are there any comments from the council? Any comments from the audience? Okay. Those council members supporting the motion on the board, please indicate so. Motion carries 16-0-0. Now we stall. I move that the TAC for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder for the 2014 fishing year be 400 metric tons. It's a committee motion, does not need a second. Mary Beth.
So, Mr. Chairman, we have a motion from the Groundfish Committee that we're going to be considering tomorrow that conflicts with this motion. And I was just wondering if it might be appropriate to make a motion to table this motion until we consider the Groundfish Committee motion.
Well, my approach was working with the Groundfish Vice Chair was for him to move that motion today. And ahead of the groundfish.
So, in follow-up to that, I think we're supposed to be eating dogfish and skates soon, but can we have two motions on the table at the same time? I'm just a little confused how that process might work.
He would have to make a motion to substitute.
Okay. Then I'll speak to this motion since it is the motion on the table, and I do not support this motion. I think Drew laid out a lot of reasons why there are concerns about the process. The Magnuson Act was reauthorized and set up a process by which the SSC's duty and job is to come up to determine scientific uncertainty. Agency scientists participated in that process and that recommendation that we got from them. And when we were in Halifax, this was more than awkward how this played out, and I don't think that the process went well. I'll leave it at that. I don't support the motion.
Seconded by who? You raising your hand to second?
No.
Oh,
no,
shit.
She's just speaking.
Sorry. I'm looking for the dogfish. Okay. Thank you. Dr. Pierce, Laura, John.
Yes, I would move to postpone consideration of this motion until a groundfish discussion tomorrow.
You move
it's not a motion to table. It's a motion to postpone until discussions tomorrow. So it's debatable.
Okay, so are you seconding that?
I do have a comment and a second.
Okay, and I'm ready for your comment. And some dogfish, yeah.
I'm all about skate. No, I just thought I'd follow up because I, too, was a little disheartened by what happened in Canada based on the conversations I've had afterwards. And it does feel a little like I tell my children, you can all have a vote, but I get 51%. So I do think that we have to be careful. We've been in the committee meetings I've been in, we've had quite a few little instances of behind the doors activities that have led to some questioning of transparency. And I'm not spouting conspiracy theories, but I think we need to be I think we need to do a better job of being transparent and do a better job of following process, especially when we're negotiating on behalf of our country. So I'm going to support I don't support the initial motion, and I'm going to support tabling it till conversation tomorrow. Or not tabling, postponing, pardon me.
Yeah, we're going to give Mitch a minute to untangle this process. You want to comment while Mitch is?
Okay. So, if I have this right, I think I'm speaking against the motion to postpone the motion that of the committee. I think that's right. But at any rate, that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the substance of the motion and essentially address the comments from the audience and explain. I thought it was pretty clear our letter, but in case it isn't, I want to explain why we support the committee's motion for 400. And I want to refresh our memory because when we disapproved portions of the Herring Amendment, there was an exchange of correspondence between the former chair of this council, old what's-his-name. What was his name? Rip and me, which went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But the gist of it was former Chair Cunningham said, "You know, John, besides telling us what's out of bounds, you know, you could save a lot if you would tell us what's in bounds. Don't just tell us the wrong answer. Tell us the right answer." So we took that to heart and had a lot of discussion about that. And I thought it was good advice that he's, I think, speaking on behalf of the council, said it would be helpful to us to know in advance what you would approve before we make decisions. That would be helpful information to know in advance what you would approve, not just after the fact know what you would approve or disapprove. It would be helpful in advance to know what you would approve. So hearing that wise counsel, and having this, this issue come up in front of us, we said, with that still ringing in my ears, let's think about this issue and give that information to the council so they can use it. They can ignore it if they want. They cannot ignore it, but at least they'll have that information. We looked at the track advice and tried to decipher that, as you have tried to decipher that. We looked at that, and they said, what did they say? From my opinion, they said, well, if you want to eliminate overfishing, 123 is the number. Now, that didn't seem to make any common sense to me, 123. And they said, well, 500, that seems to be the wrong number two, because that would cause biomass to shrink. So on the one hand, 500 seemed the wrong number. 123 seemed the wrong number. And they also said the biomass is the lowest in the time series. They said recruitment was poor for many years. And they said advice was well below 400, well below 500, contrary to Dr. Sullivan's oral remarks. The written report said well below 500. Now, the SSC, we tried to look at the whole report, not cherry pick, and I commend the SSC. This year they didn't say 1150, as they did last year. We're not talking about some number like 1150. They said don't exceed 500, but that isn't the only thing the SSC said, and I was there. I listened to it all. They said catch should be reduced as much as practical. I can't even say that word. As catch should be reduced. Catches should be reduced as much as practicable. That language was suggested to the SSC by Attorney Mankiewicz, as a matter of fact. Catches should be reduced as much as practicable. That was in the SSC report as well, not just the language below 500. Catches should be reduced as much as practicable. So that's in the report as well. And so we took all of that information, and the regional office and the Science Center said, what can we make of that if we want to give some guidance to the TMGC members in advance so we can tell them what we might, in applying Magnuson Act, what would be acceptable. 123 is not the right answer, and 500 isn't the right answer. What is the right answer? And the justification for 400, I think, is laid out in that letter as clearly as we could lay it out. And the TMGC supported 400. And it results in U.S. catches going up 50%. And the catches to date in 2013, now that's only, I think, 6 months, are 52 tons, 52 so far. Now, that's only 6 months of the year, but it's 52 tons. So, so I think it fulfills catches should be reduced as much as practicable. I think it's meets the criteria. But, you know, you can do whatever you want. But the reason we said it, to end where I started, is because we got guidance from your former leader that it would be helpful to you in deliberations to know what we're going to do. That was done in good faith. We thought that would be helpful to you. Right. And so that's why we did it.
Okay, we've had point and counterpoint. So any comments that are made now, I want specific to the motion to postpone. Okay, seeing none. Those who support the motion to postpone further discussion on the 400 metric tons until tomorrow's groundfish committee meeting, please indicate so. And those opposed? The motion carries 13-3. So please think this over tonight. We have a lot to talk over tomorrow. But before we adjourn for the day, Karen very wisely brought to my attention a motion that Alan Gaithel made on enforcement was a motion to amend and not a perfect motion. So we're going to have to vote on that motion as amended. Can you get it up on the board? Okay. It's up on the board. Is that clear to everybody? Okay. Those who support the motion as amended, please indicate so. Okay, that motion carries 16-0-0. And before we adjourn until 8:30 tomorrow morning, I see both Tom Dempsey and John Popolotta with their hands up.
I guess I should defer to John in welcoming you guys and offering a belated welcome to Cape Cod. We have a mayor sort of give some brief comments, but the only thing close to a mayor we have is Ron Smallowitz, and I think he took off. But anyways, welcome. As you all seen, we have a little invite here. We have an event right around the corner in the hotel at BJ's. Offer some skate and dogfish done up by a local chef, and some beer and wine to help take the edge off a long day. And hope to see you all there.
Thank you. We're adjourned until 8:30 tomorrow morning.